we sing together hymn number 44, Just As I Am, Without One Plea But That Thy Blood Was Shed For Me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Number 44, would someone start that, please? Turn to a verse in 1 Corinthians 7 for what's on my heart tonight before turning to another portion. First Corinthians 7 and verse 22, the Apostle Paul is writing to Christian believers and those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus, and he says to them in verse 22, "For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men." And then verse 21, "Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but this expression, if thou mayest be made free, use it rather." The apostle is saying here that there were those who were slaves. And sin has brought slavery and bondage into this world. And all of us, beloved friends, were born in sin. And all of us, because we yielded our members to unrighteousness, became the servants of sin. But the apostle says here, if you canst be made free, if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. Tonight I want to tell you of how you can be free from being the servants of men, from being the servants of sin, from being servants to the master of this world, the god of this world, Satan. How you can be set free from that servitude and become the Lord's free man. The Lord Jesus said to those who were trusting in their natural birth, who were trusting in their nationality, he said to them, "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Tonight, you love him. The desire of my heart that none would leave this room tonight still a servant of sin, a servant of men, or a servant to Satan. But you would go out the Lord's free man. It's a wonderful thing, beloved, to be one of the Lord's free man. "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Now, for the portion on my heart tonight, I would like to go to the book of the Acts, chapter 16, and perhaps look at two, a woman and a man who were set free from bondage, and some who thought they were free and who were not set free. In Acts chapter 16, we have an account of a young woman who sometime in her life fell into servitude and bondage to Satan. And beloved, he is real. Men today would like us to think that he doesn't exist or that he is a cartoon figure, someone to make fun of. But beloved, and the whole world, God's word tells us, lies in the lap of that wicked one. And tonight, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you're under his power, you're under his bondage, you're under his servitude. And so here in chapter 16 of Acts, in verse 16, it says, "It came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying." Here we learn about this young woman that she had masters. She had those who were over her, who had control of her body, who had control of her life. She had submitted herself to the power of Satan, to the power of sin in her life, and the Son had not made her free, and she had many masters. And while the servants of God were coming to prayer, this woman came to disrupt that prayer meeting. And it says that she had brought much gain to her masters by soothsaying. That is, she had a false spirit in her, but she had supernatural powers to prophesy and say things that came out to be true. And beloved, the whole world, the United States of America, the whole world is looking for something supernatural, looking for something outside of themselves. And they found it in this woman who was subject to these evil spirits. And she was prophesying. She was making much gain for her masters. Beloved, tonight is it so with you? You don't have to be possessed by demons to bring much gain to your masters. The world is paying a great price for your servitude tonight. Many young men, many young women have given their lives to this world. And oh yes, the world paid their price, but the world came out to gain. And then when their lives are over, the world casts them off. That's not like our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never cast us off. Well, this woman, this poor woman, she had been some time in her life subjected to these spirits. And she follows Paul around in verse 17. The same Paul followed Paul and us. I wonder tonight if you're a young one, you're perhaps born, as we say in the meeting, and you've been following Paul and Paul's company around, those who are believers, but yet you yourself have never known the delivering power of the deliverance of Paul's gospel. You know what Paul's gospel is? Christ has died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, you've heard that many, many times in your life, haven't you? If anyone came to you tonight and said, do you believe that Christ has died? You say, I believe that Christ has died. I remember in my life as a young man, I believed that. And I was still in bondage. And I was still under the burden of my sins. Why? Because I hadn't received Christ by faith in my heart. And so you know these things. And you might be going along with Christians, going along in their company, but yet you yourself are still in bondage to your master. And so she comes along, and she follows Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. But she wasn't saved. She knew that these were servants of the Most High God. But she herself wasn't saved. And I don't suppose there's anyone in this hall tonight that can't tell the way to be saved. But have you yourself experienced that salvation? This woman had gone along with that company of believers. She recognized they were servants of the Most High God. And she recognized that they were proclaiming salvation. Yet she herself was still under the bondage and burden of sin. It's a terrible burden to be under. I wonder tonight if there's one here tonight who is still under the bondage and burden of sin. Things just are not like you would like them to be. You know there must be something better, but you don't know what it is. Well, this lady was like that. She had made a fortune for her masters, but she herself was still without Christ. She had not been set free by the Son of God. It's that simple. Oh, beloved, it's so wonderful to me that Christianity is a person. It's Jesus. It's not a set of rules. It's not some ordinances that you have to perform. It's not some commandments that you have to keep in order to be saved. No, it's the reception of the Lord Jesus Christ, that man who has risen from amongst the dead. And tonight, while we're here in this room, he is in heaven and he is calling to you. You know, he said in the end of Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you know the rest of God? It's a wonderful thing to know Christ, to be brought to rest in his arms. Well, this woman knew a lot, but she didn't know this salvation. She didn't know this Savior. And this did she many days. Perhaps you've known this for a long time. I can't remember when I first had in my realization of my mind that there was such a thing as being saved. I think it was quite young. Maybe 10 or 12 or 13 years of old, I had a friend that told me that there was such a thing as being saved, and that you could be saved by putting your trust in the Lord Jesus. And I wanted that salvation. But I, like this woman, went along many days knowing that and not myself having been set free for many years later. And so this woman, she's comforting with Christians. She's going on with them for many days. But she herself is still a servant to sin. You know, sometimes I've talked to souls, and you have to perhaps, Christian, you speak to them and they'll say something like this. Well, I either went to church once or I've got to go to church. I've got to get going. And just not so long ago I talked to a man. I got to get going back to church, he said. Well, that's like this woman. You might say she went to church, she went to the prayer meeting, she followed along with these Christians, but it never set her free. Why? Because she never received Christ as her Savior. She thought maybe going along with this company would change her, but it didn't change her. And so she went many days in this condition, but Paul, being grieved, turned. Oh, tonight, you know, Paul's he speaks about his gospel. He called it his gospel. He made it his own, and God had revealed to Paul the gospel by which today Christian believers, men and women, can be saved. And so he calls it his gospel. But here he looks at this woman, and he is grieved. Tonight I wonder, as the Lord looks down into your heart, knowing that you know so much about him, and you're still in bondage, I wonder if his heart is grieved with you tonight. You know, beloved, it's a wonderful thing to know that we don't have an insensitive God. We do not have a God who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We don't have a God who doesn't care about you. This book says, this book of Acts says, Paul says it himself, God is near to every one of us. Do you realize this morning when you woke up, God was there? As he saw your thoughts and knew your thoughts and watched your goings, he went with you. Was he grieved with you? Was he grieved with you? Or did he see in your heart a response to him? Tonight, as the Lord Jesus looks down in this company, he finds hearts that have received him as their Savior, or he has found a heart that has shut him out. And so this woman in her life, you know, it hurts me when I see the great bondage that womankind has been brought into in this professed Christian world. Oh, the terrible bondage they're being subjected to. And here this young woman in the land of it was there, supposed to be free, living in a free country, and she was in bondage and in servitude. And so Paul was very grieved about her condition, and very grieved, and he turned and said to the Spirit. Here we see, and you know, there's Satan, and the Scripture identifies him. And there are spirits or demons, and the Scriptures identify them too. Men like to think that they don't exist, but beloved, they do exist. And we're seeing their activity in the form, in human form, day by day in our country in which we live. Just as in the land of Israel, when the Lord Jesus came to this earth, the land that should have been a light bearer for God was filled with men and women who were possessed with demons. And so, in the Christian profession, as we refuse the Word of God and reject the testimony of the Word of God, we're seeing in a professed Christian land more and more the possession of young and old alike with these evil spirits. They are real. And so this woman, Paul addresses the spirit. And he says to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. Oh, the beautiful, blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that name that the impotent man was made whole with. It's that name that has saved my soul and has saved whosoever shall call, it says in the Word of God, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's delivering power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Oh, you know, you talk to people and they'll say, I'm this or I'm that. I go here or I go there. Beloved, none of those things will deliver our soul. The name of Jesus Christ. I ask you tonight, do you know Him? Is He your Savior? Well, Paul says, in the name of the Lord Jesus, the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And He came out the same hour. She was healed. You know, it's a wonderful thing to come to the end of yourself, to call on the name of the Lord. And then she didn't say, well, I better patch myself up. I better, clean myself up. And I've talked to souls like that too. Maybe they were drinking or maybe they were smoking or something like that. And they'll say to you, well, I know this is wrong, or I'm going to try to get rid of this. That isn't what the Lord wants. He wants you to trust in Himself. Receive Him. To as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Now it says in verse 19, when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone. Beloved, she had been set free. They no longer had control over her life. You know, men can control our lives. Maybe our work. Maybe our pleasures. It may be whatever. Men's inventions that possess us and keep us in bondage. But when Christ comes into the soul, they lose their power over our souls. This woman had been set free. And her masters knew that the hope of their gain was lost. I wonder tonight, what are you living for? You know, we're all living for some purpose, for some gain in our life, something that we hope to acquire to satisfy our souls. But when Christ came into this young woman's life, the hope of her master's gain was gone. He had set her free. They were interested in monetary gain, and this world's god is money. And it is a root, not the root, but it is a root of every evil. Wicked men will do wicked things just for the point of gaining money. It's a terrible god. It's a terrible idol to have before our hearts. But if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. And these masters had lost their power over this young life. It's just so wonderful to see a young soul that's been set free. You know, it seems like today it's a rare thing to see them, but when you do see them, such a joy it is to be in their presence. The hind let loose, and the joy that they express in their life of having been set free. I remember that night when I got saved, and the next day I wanted to go to Diamond Lab and put a badge on my coat and say, I'm saved. Well, testimony comes harder than that sometimes, but it's the new life wanting to give expression to itself to the delivering power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you been set free? This woman was set free. And it says, when their master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. Here you think of Paul and Silas as simply the vessels of testimony. You know, that's all that any man or woman is, any saved, redeemed one. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's all that we can do, is tell you about the Lord Jesus. We can't save your soul. But these vessels that had been used by Christ to set this woman free, these men who had lost their gains drew them to the marketplace. The marketplace is where things are bought and things are sold. I wonder if you think of the gospel as something that I can buy or I can sell. I can do with it I have power to do whatever I want to do. If I want to buy the gospel, I can buy it. If I want to sell it, I can sell it. I can live with it or I can live without it. Beloved, you can't sell or buy the gospel. The gospel is free. And they thought that they could do away with Paul and Silas. And by doing away with them, those vessels of testimony, they would do away with this power that had set captives free. You can't. It's God's gospel. And you're going to, if you don't want God's gospel, you're going to try to shut God out of your life. You can't do it. God is bigger than you. He's bigger than me. And he loves you too much to let you sell him out. To say, I don't want you around. God is working in your heart tonight to bring you to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But these men, they didn't want. The gain that they valued was not the gain of salvation. They valued money. It had possessed them and it had dispossessed God from their thoughts. They sold themselves in this marketplace. Instead of turning to these two men who brought this wonderful deliverance to this woman, they, as it were, sold them. That we do not want the power that these men bring, this delivering power. We want our gain, and we've got to get rid of this. I wonder tonight if your conscience has been speaking to you about the Lord, and you try to silence it. I can relate to that. Trying to silence your conscience, knowing you need the Lord, but trying to shut him out by pleasure or by whatever means you can conceive in your mind to shut him out. God, don't shut him out. Don't shut him out, because if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. And so they bring them to the marketplace unto the rulers. These rulers were the political leaders in power in that city. And they sat as though they had jurisdiction over Paul and Silas. They sat as though they had authority to say what Paul and Silas could do or could not do. Do you know what that is today? In our country, we have men, I think they are 12, I'm not sure, maybe it's 7. But they're mighty, powerful men. The powerfulest men perhaps today in the world. And they sat in the United States of America's Supreme Court. And they say, if we say this book is not to enter into the public schools, this book is not to be there. He gave them that authority. You say, well, maybe that is getting pretty bold. God, who established them as powers would be, and they're using that authority to say, God cannot speak anywhere saved you can. You think that's bad? I asked you tonight that you may not sit in the United States Supreme Court. You may not be responsible for making such solemn decisions in this country of ours, but you sit in the Supreme Court of your heart. And tonight are you saying, God is not going to speak in this heart of mine. I don't want him. I don't want his message. And I will take control. And I will see to it that God no longer speaks in this heart of mine. Yes, a serious, serious decision for you to make. And each one of us, you know, the Lord says, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, someone says in song, the key is on the inside. Only you can open the door. Have you done that tonight? Or have you said to the Lord Jesus, Lord, you're not going to have dominion. You're not going to have freedom to set me free in this heart of mine. And so these rulers, they brought them to these magistrates in verse 20 saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. Does the thoughts of the Lord trouble your city? You know, I know it did mine. I know I worried from time to time. I was afraid. From a child, I remember my folks talking about, and they didn't know anything about it. They weren't believers in the Lord. But we seemed to have some conscience that the Lord was going to come back in judgment of this world. And that wasn't a comforting thought to me. That troubled my heart. Have you ever been troubled in your conscience about the Lord? Well, they said that they're troubling our city. I enjoy, you know, I come to another city whose builder and maker is God, and the Lord Jesus doesn't trouble that city. He is the light of that city. He is the center of that city. He is the maker of that city. And he has cleansed me from my sins, and he is going to welcome me to that city. And he doesn't trouble that city. Does he trouble your city tonight? It'd be nice if you gave up that city that's troubled by the thoughts of the Lord Jesus, came to him, received him as your Savior, and walked with Abraham. I just love it. Those in the beginning of Hebrews 11, it says, they looked for a city that hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Everything that we see with our eyes, these magnificent cities that men have built, it's all coming down because the foundations were not of God. He did not make those cities. And so Paul and Silas troubled these cities. And it says in verse 21, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Oh, you know, and hold this place and look in chapter 22 for that expression. In verse 27, here's a thought that the Romans carried in their minds, you know. And then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, yea. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. Paul said, but I was freeborn. Here these Romans, they considered themselves I'm the only free people in the whole world. I talked to the kids at Lawrenceville a few weeks ago, looking at our flag, and I said about that flag, someone wrote a song about that flag, o'er the land. O say, does the star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free? Do you think you're free because you're a citizen of the United States? Do you think you were set free when you were born into this country? No, beloved, that's the mentality of these Romans. They said, we're free, and we don't want to be in bondage to what these men are teaching. And that's what our country, beloved friend, this country that professes to be free, is saying today, we will not have God. And we will not have His Word to tell us what we are to do. You know, the ills, the ailments of this nation could be healed in a day by submission to the Word of God. And they're fighting and struggling with all kinds of solutions to their ills. And it's going down, down, down. And you say, that's terrible. It's true. It's true. And no sober man could deny the truth of what I'm telling you tonight. The more the society struggles and casts out God's Word as the only authority there is. And beloved, only God has a right to say what sin is. You don't have a right to say what sin is. God is the one who calls light day and night darkness. God determines what sin is. And anything that's self-will, an expression of self-will against God, is sin. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is saying, I'm going to do what I want to do. That's man's concept of liberty. He thinks he's set free if he can do what he wants to do. We live our lives looking for that day when we can do what we want to do. You know, when we're little, we get excited because we're going to go to school. We want to go to school. You're not very long in school, and you think, oh, I'll be glad when I get out of school, and I don't have to go to school anymore, and I'll be free. And you get out of free, and you go to work, and you find that you're not free. It's worse than school. And you say, oh, if I can just be retired. And then you get retired, then it's no better. You're pursuing the wind. But man thinks, if I can do my own will, I am free. And it's the worst bondage of all. You know, the friends, have you come to Christ and become Christ's servant? Christ's servants are the only free men in this world. It's wonderful to be free. It's wonderful to have been set free by the Son of God. Do you know that freedom? Men do not offer it. They cannot offer it. And the more they reject God's Word in our country, the more you're going to see the increased tragedies. Oh, beloved, the destruction that comes from shutting out the Word of God in our country, yes, but more important than that, in our lives. Tonight, you can't do anything about the country, but you can do something about this rib cage where this heart is contained, where your heart is contained, where the Lord Jesus is wanting entrance. Do you want to be free tonight? He can set you free. Well, they say to him, these men trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, because, you know, we're these free Romans, we're proud, and we don't want to be brought into bondage to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the multitude rose up together against them. Does the multitude trouble you? Everybody is doing it. I met this man, met him from time to time, walking the streets. He usually jogs, and now lately he's been walking, and I've been walking with him. And he was talking about this. You know, he says, even Christians that he knows who are living in sin, and he's talked to them, about what they're doing. And one man said he's a Christian. Says he's a, he called him a Bible-believing Christian, but he uses the name of God. And this man has spoken to him every time he uses God's name. He said, you are violating God's commandment. You're blaspheming God. He said, one day he turned and he was angry at me. And he said, everybody does it. And he said, does everybody doing it make it right? That's the principle of democracy. Everybody's doing it. So if everybody's doing it, it must be right. The multitude agreed. These men are troubling our cities. Beloved friends, where was the multitude in the days of Noah? Tell me. Where was the multitude when God judged Sodom? And where will the multitude be, beloved friends, when the Lord Jesus comes in taking fire and vengeance on them who know not God? Oh, it's a solemn thing to be governed, beloved friends, by popular opinion. More and more I care less and less what men think. Here we've got a book that is light from God, God inspired. Every word. I remember this Jewish lady, you know, she said she and her husband used to believe the Old Testament scriptures were inspired by God, but she said, we are educated people now. My husband's a doctor. We've gone to the universities, and now we don't believe that anymore. We think they were just tales passed down. Beloved friends, that woman tonight is in eternity. If she died rejecting, casting out God's word, not allowing it to have its authority in her life, not bringing her to the Lord Jesus Christ, what good is her education doing her tonight? She's lost and lost forever. The Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He has power tonight to forgive your sins. But if you die in your sins, the Lord Jesus said himself, ye shall die in your sins, and whither I go, you cannot come. One that says where the tree falls, there so it should lie. If your eyes close in death tonight, it will be too late. It says of that rich man, he realized the truth of the word of God too late. And he said, Father Abraham, if I could just have a drop of water to cool my tongue. And the Lord had to tell them, you have Moses and the prophets, and if you believe not them, neither will ye believe the one rise from the dead. You know, I remember meeting a young man on the street, and I was a young man in those days. He prayed that Saturday afternoon out in the front yard of his house. He prayed, God, if there be a God, show me yourself. And that night, this poor man met that poor man. And I told him about the Lord Jesus, and he told me this story. And I said to him, Dennis, God is not going to show you a miracle. He has sent me tonight to tell you about his son and his son's love for you and dying for you. For some reason, I never forgot his name. It's the only time I ever met him. And I wonder what he did with that message. Tonight, what are you waiting for? What are you looking for? The Jews had said, require a sign. There were those who, there was the Son of God before their eyes. He proved himself to be the Son of God by performing miracles. And he was before their eyes. And they said to that blessed one, show us a sign. You want to see a sign? Go over, find the tomb where they laid the Lord's body. And it's empty, beloved. It's empty. Christ was 3 days and nights in the earth, but he's not there anymore. He is risen from the dead. And thank God, beloved, he is risen from the dead, because Paul says, if Christ be not raised, our faith is in vain. Let them have their tombs that they can point to where their religious leaders are, beloved. Our leader, the believer's leader, is not in the tomb tonight. He is there in glory at the Father's right hand, and his enemies have been made his footstools. Tonight, are you an enemy of the Lord? You know, we don't like to think of it that way, but that's the drawing line. We're enemies. But beloved, Christ came to die for his enemies. He's come. You know, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. He died for us. He died for us who are sinners. Will you come just as a sinner? Well, it says here, they commanded to rend off their clothes. The multitude rose up together, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And I tell you again, can you not identify this? You think this is a strange story that happened 2,000 years ago? It's being repeated every day of our life in this favored land. This land that we say we're freeborn in. This land that we say we are free. We are rejecting the word of God and God's servants who bring it and say, we do not want this message. And so they beat them and commanded them to be beat. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Now here's the second man, who was a servant, and he had to do what his masters told him to do. And they told this jailer, beat these men, put them in prison, and lock them up. And he did. I wonder if that's what your master is saying tonight. Don't listen. Don't listen. Maybe you want to intend to get saved. Maybe you're a boy or a girl here tonight, and you do think someday I'm going to get saved, but not right now. You're putting the gospel message in a prison. You're not letting it have its liberating power in your life. And that's what this man did. Well, thank God. It says down in verse 25 that while Paul and Silas were in prison, they prayed. Both of these incidences of men and women being set free began with prayer. And they prayed and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now here were some who knew they were prisoners, and they heard these two men praying and singing. And they were set free. It says, there was a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. I wonder tonight if those bands that are holding you have been burst yet. They can be if you will just hear the gospel message. Christ, this it says, is beautiful. Paul said, and I can say it, and so can every redeemed soul say it, and the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. So the prisoner's bands were loosed, but this keeper of the prison, who was sleeping through it all, perhaps that's the way you've been up until tonight, you've just been sleeping through it all. You haven't heard the singing, you haven't heard the praying, you haven't noticed what God had done in the lives of these prisoners, setting them free. But suddenly, he's shaken, and he's waked up out of his sleep, and great terror comes upon him. And he supposed that the prisoners had been fled, but you don't have to flee now from the power of men if you've been set free by Christ. You're the Lord's free man. And the Lord kept them there so this man wouldn't take his life. And he called, and he would have killed himself. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light. Have you ever done that tonight? Do you want light? That's what we need when we're in darkness. That's what we need more than anything else. We need light. And so this man calls for light. And I want you just to read verse 30. He brought them out and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now I want you to notice the answer. I'm going to misread it. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Keep the Ten Commandments and do the best that you can do." I remember when I wasn't saved and standing by the side of my dying grandpa, over 90 years of age, and he had been taught by a group that he was to keep the commandments and do the best he could. And grandpa was what we would call a good man, but I'm afraid he was lost. And his end was a terrible, terrible end. No, friends, you can't keep the Ten Commandments, and you're not doing the best you can. And any honest soul who would give any evaluation, credible evaluation of their life, would have to say, "I've done the best I can do." What can I do then? What must I do to be saved? Here it is, beloved. It's not profound. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Saved. There are only two groups of people in this world tonight. Those who are saved and those who are lost. What kind of a man got saved this night? A church-going man? A good man? A charitable man? No. The man that got saved tonight was a man who was afraid of his masters and was willing to beat these servants of God and put them in prison. And it didn't bother his conscience enough to keep him awake. He went to sleep after beating these two servants of the Lord who had not done one thing to him, and it didn't trouble his conscience. You'd say, no hope for this man. Oh, yes, there is, beloved. He got saved that night by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And furthermore, you know who it was that led him to the Lord? It was a worse sinner than he was. It was Paul, the apostle, and Silas. And Paul says about his unconverted days, he attained to the status, the undesirable status, of being the first place sinner. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. You might say, Paul, Saul of Tarsus, when he was persecuting the church, entering into Christian families, tearing the fathers and mothers away from the children and dragging them off, putting them in prison, seeing to it that other believers were killed, he attained, he set a record of being the worst, the first of sinners, and no one has taken or surpassed that crown, that undesirable crown of being the chief of sinners. And tonight, beloved friends, perhaps you're here tonight. I remember talking to my own dear sister. Well, did I know she would be taken so young. trying to tell her to come to the Lord Jesus, and she said, I am too bad. No, beloved friend, you're not too bad tonight. You're not too bad for Christ. The worst sinner that ever lived is in glory. And he's sent us a gospel, the Apostle Paul's gospel, whereby we can be saved. And he has said these words, friend, to you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The question is, will you believe God, or will you believe this find up here? Talking to a man recently, I have trouble, he says, I have trouble trying to sort it all out. I said, stop thinking and start believing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There's no question about it, beloved. You don't need to go with one more moment's question as to whether you're saved. You say, Henry, are you saved? I say, I am saved, because God says it, and that's good enough for me.